Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Reunions of people who have been separated for a long time under adverse conditions can be spectacular events. Would you agree? Have you witnessed some? Join me today as we witness one of the greatest reunions of all time. The story is found in Genesis chapter 46, and it's the reunion of old Jacob with his son Joseph, who had been presumed dead for more than 20 years. Yesterday, we witnessed a similar miracle reunion as Jacob's 11 sons were stunned, shocked almost out of their minds, when the Egyptian official from whom they had been purchasing grain during the famine identified himself as their long-lost brother Joseph, the same Joseph they had sold into slavery more than 20 years before, Genesis 45. When the Egyptian pharaoh heard the news, he too was shocked. We have no indication Pharaoh had done due diligence regarding the family heritage or ethnicity of slave prisoner Joseph, who 9 years before had interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh had immediately named Joseph second in authority in Egypt, primarily responsible for both agriculture bounty and famine management. For the past 9 years, Egyptian official Joseph had been doing a fantastic job of leading the entire nation of Egypt through 7 years of the most bountiful crop harvest on record, and now 2 years of the most severe famine ever seen in that part of the world. But because the famine was so widespread, people were coming from far outside Egypt to purchase food, including up north in Canaan, modern-day Israel. And that's what brought Joseph's brothers to Egypt, seeking to buy grain, which they hoped would save their families and their animals from starvation. Something fascinates me about the special meal Joseph's attendants prepared for Joseph, their Egyptian official boss and his attendants, and these Hebrew guys who had come seeking to buy grain. I find it in Genesis chapter 43, verse 32. They served him, that's Joseph, the Egyptian official, by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. So clearly there was a very strong racial prejudice in Egypt against the Hebrew people from Canaan. I assume Pharaoh held to that same prejudice, yet the Pharaoh had been working very closely with Joseph for 9 years, evidently oblivious to Joseph's ethnic heritage. But suddenly, the Pharaoh knows of Joseph's family, and yet the Pharaoh sends word to Joseph to invite his family to move immediately to Egypt and offers them carts, and we presume animals, to pull those carts to assist in the relocation of Jacob's large family. Clearly, God was doing a work in Pharaoh's heart that caused his gratitude for Joseph's good work and perhaps his respect for Joseph's leadership so that the Pharaoh set aside previously held racial prejudice. Has God done a work like that in your heart, my friends? Has God helped your heart reject bitterness or anger or envy or prejudice against someone or a group of people? Are you living in that spiritual freedom which only Jesus can accomplish? If not, do you desire such freedom? Would you ask God for it and do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do to be free of prejudice bondage? Genesis 46 is that remarkable story of Jacob's huge family caravan leaving their homeland Canaan and traveling to Egypt, along with all their animals and belongings. God met Jacob along the way and said to Jacob in a vision, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes." Genesis 46, verse 1 to 4. Have you ever received from God a strong release from something or some place that you've held tightly to for a long time? As you moved in that God-given release, did you find God had new opportunities ahead for you that you would likely never have experienced without God's help in releasing that to which you had grasped? That's an important part of living in submission to the sovereignty of God and the assurance that Jesus knows what would be best for you and your family in your future. Genesis 46, verse 5 to 27 is a listing by name of the males in Jacob's family. This type of listing does not discount the value of the wives and daughters, but this is a bloodline listing for inheritance, property ownership, etc., and thus the male lines flowing from Jacob to the third and fourth generation were so very important. Notice, Jacob even included Joseph's two sons born in Egypt, Genesis 46, verse 19. Later in our journey, we'll see how very significant that is. When word came to Joseph that his family caravan was approaching Egypt, he called for his royal chariot and driver and headed off to meet them. As soon as Joseph appeared before Jacob, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you really are still alive." Genesis 46, verse 29 and 30. Can you place yourself there as an eyewitness to one of the greatest reunions of all time, Jacob and Joseph? Look around at the huge extended family watching. Many of Jacob's daughters-in-law and grandchildren had never seen Joseph before. Can a shattered heart be mended after 20 years? I wonder if Jacob had kept that blood-stained coat of many colors as a memorial for his son. Can hope be restored? Can torn relationships be mended? Is a family resurrection possible even from the deadness of Jacob's family? Oh, yes, my friends. Yes, it is all possible with God. I think we need to pause right here in the wonder of this reunion and just take it all in. Can you see Joseph's brothers pointing as they explain to their wives and children who that man is hugging old Jacob? Can you imagine the work God was doing in the hearts of the adults in that crowd who knew the true story as they watched and listened to Jacob and Joseph? Is God ready to do the same work in every Bochran family if that family will invite God in and open their hearts to his healing work? Oh, yes. Yes, my friends. That's what Jesus was doing at the water well at Sychar when a Samaritan woman came in the middle of the day and Jesus' disciples couldn't believe Jesus would stop there, much less speak with this woman. Remember? Jesus and his disciples spent 2 days there and the entire town was changed as God unleashed his prejudice-breaking power in that place, according to John chapter 4. Let's pray for families and family members we know who need the powerful healing work of God in their lives. And tomorrow I'll join you here again as we continue the grand narrative, looking to see what God did next in this remarkable story.